Cantor Audio presents Madness in Soledar by L. E. Modisett, Jr., narrated by William Dufries. For my mother, who introduced me to science fiction and the fantastic, and who made all the books possible. Prologue 1.
"Five silvers? That's all?" asked the woman in a low voice. "After all the years you devoted to his father?"
"Young Master Kerrison said that was all that he could spare. The factorage went to his older brother. He got nothing."
The stocky man, sitting on the low stool in front of the hearth, stared at the few reddish coals that remained. The boy listened and watched from where he lay on the rush pallet, with its pad of quilted rags neatly stitched together, barely covered by a small and patched woolen gray blanket, his eyes slit so that they would think he was sleeping.
"Like as anyone believe that?"
"I believe it. He walked from the factorage to the north wharf. I went with him. That's when he gave me the silvers. He got on a schooner bound for Hassel. He'll be working for his wife's father there."
"Least he'll have a place. Not like us."
"We've the cot, love."
"That and five whole silvers, and three young mouths to feed. Some reward for years of service."
"Faerth might take me as a loader."
"At your age? How long can you lift bales and barrels?"
"Long as I have to. Long as there's no other work to be had. There are other things I can do."
The woman offered a sound that might have been anything. The boy continued to listen, but neither of his parents spoke, not before he finally slept, restlessly, until much later when a chill breeze blew through the open door, so strongly that the boy had to grab his tattered blanket to keep it from blowing away. Not that it was quite long enough to cover both his shoulders and feet, no matter how much he hunched up. He could taste ashes from the small fire that had burned out glasses earlier, even before he had drifted into sleep. He moistened his lips in the darkness. That only made the taste of ashes worse. The door closed, but he could still feel the wind coming through the cracks in the wall and in the door frame.
"Mother?"
He tried not to let his voice crack.
"I'm here."
She knelt beside him and touched his cheek. Her hand was even colder than the packed clay of the floor or the stones of the hearth.
"Father? He had to go. He'll be back in the morning. A man had a task."
The boy could hear the way her voice hardened when she tried not to talk about things that worried her.
"At night? We do what we have to. Your father will be back. He always does what he says. He always has. He always will."
"Would that others did." The boy reached from under the blankets and took her hand in his.
"Your hands are cold. That's just from seeing your father off."
After a time, she withdrew her hands.
"Go back to sleep."
This time, he did not find sleep again until it was almost dawn. Chapter 1. The two gray-clad imagers sat in the two chairs before the oblong desk. The prematurely gray-haired one glanced at the timepiece on the corner of the desk and its sands flowing from the top of the glass to the bottom.
"Do you have to go?"
asked Ciaran, the younger of the two men, if only by a few years, although some silver hairs streaked his blonde thatch.
"Not quite yet. I'm supposed to meet the Rex at 8:30 glass. He'd be happier if it were 6th glass."
"Is he that early a riser?"
"Supposedly. He always looks tired, even when he's angry. And that's more often the case than not."
"Alistar, don't you think you're acceding to his wishes too much? Even Maitre Fane,
he is the source of almost all our funding. That's barely enough right now, as I pointed out at the last meeting of the senior matres. The drought in the southeast, around Piedron, and the last rains here and in the west, have halved crop yields, and prices are going up, and will increase more.
Then there's the small matter that the Collegium's charter is to support the Rex, and that means against the High Holders and everything else. In the past, that's meant support against the Army High Command as well, but with Demichelon only recently becoming Marshal, it's hard to say. The word is that he doesn't like imagers. That's likely true. In fact, that had been one of the first things Alistar had learned after arriving at Image Isle. That doesn't mean that Demichelon is that fond of the Rex, and these days Ryan also needs support against the Factor's Council, and everyone else the Nameless knows, replied Kiron. That puts us at odds with almost everyone. Ryan is far less than he could be, but would you want Demichelon or any Marshal running Solidar, or High Holders Hyben, Nacreon, and Gwyrdon, or any Factor that you could name? Especially Elthard. He's behind some new money-lending factorage. Likely another excuse for usury on a larger scale.
Oh, the new Bank Dexkelsis.
Alistar couldn't recall where he'd heard that. The word is that he put up the golds to back his son. What about Lorien? Would he be a better Rex than his father?
Who knows? I've never met him. But it's hard to believe he couldn't do better than his sire. But that's not a certainty. In any event, we shouldn't be the ones making that choice. If it ever came out that we did, and it would come out, you know that as well as I.
Alistar did not finish the sentence, but he did not have to, he knew.
It wouldn't be the end of the Collegium.
If it weren't, it would come Namer fired close. The maitre of the Collegium Imago shook his head. So we'll do our best to keep everyone at bay with everyone else until someone with sense shows up.
As if anyone with sense would be stupid enough to let it be known, countered Kiron. Do you know what Ryan wants?
No. Alistar stood, letting Kiron know that their talk was over. I can hardly wait to find out what new scheme or pet peeve he's become obsessed with.
Better you than me.
Thank you, my friend. Alistar offered a warm smile, then watched as Kiron left the study. After a moment, he picked up a leather case and riffled through the papers inside, although he doubted that Ryan would wish to discuss what was contained in any of them, unless, of course, Alistar neglected to bring the folder. Then, after donning a riding jacket that matched his imager grays and the gray cap with its polished black leather visor, he made his way out of the study and along the corridor toward the older end of the administration building, that section constructed by the first imagers of the Collegium.
That was a much different time. Much different.
He still found it almost unreal that he had been the second highest imager at West Isle less than 2 months ago, or that Maitre Zaylon had turned down the opportunity to come to head the entire Collegium and had let it be known that Alistar should take the position. The more Alistar heard and saw, the more he understood at least some of the reasons Zaylon had demurred. At least no one had asked him to go to Mont Dimage, the isolated northern town at the base of the Montagne de Glace that housed failed or disciplined imagers. He shuddered at that thought. Outside the old main entrance, both his escorts were waiting, attired in the standard imager grays, with gray riding jackets and visor caps, given the stiff breeze and almost chill air of mid-fall. So was his mount, an older but not aged gray gelding, a symbolism that Alistar never voiced but let others infer. Although he could have summoned one of the Collegium carriages, he preferred to ride, even though that required two young imagers as escorts. While the two carried blades and truncheons, those were backed by imaging skills ranging from the simple expedient of imaging a cloud of fine pepper around the head of an assailant to imaging something into the body of an attacker. Alistar looked at the gelding, murmured, "Here we go again, fellow," then mounted and urged the gelding forward.
"The North Bridge."
He looked to the large gray stone dwelling at the north end of the green, bordered by stone-paved lanes on each side. Unlike the family dwellings on each side of the green, it was two stories tall and extended a good 40 yards across the front, with a wide covered porch wrapping around it, a dwelling that would have been far too large for Alistar, a childless widower, were it not for his responsibilities for entertaining those within the collegium and, occasionally, those from outside, although he had not done that in the brief time he had been on Image Isle. He turned toward the imager on his left.
"How are your studies with Maitre Chiron coming, Belsior?"
"Well enough, sir."
"He mentioned that you have a tendency to be excessively enthusiastic in imaging iron darts."
"Yes, sir. He made me understand that."
Alistar smiled at the understatement, knowing that Chiron had made the young man, a solid third, who might someday possibly become a maitre d'aspect, image darts until he collapsed in little more than a tenth of a glass, then walked up to the fallen Belsior and put a saber at his throat.
"He does have a way about him."
At that, Nyrin, the other third, nodded. Before long, the three were riding across the North Bridge over the River Aluce. Once on the west shore, they turned north on the West River Road, threading their way past a wagon moving south and piled with bales of hay. The shops that lined the west side of the road were neat enough, Alistar reflected, but definitely showed their age, unlike those on the East River Road. As they neared a point opposite the north end of Image Isle, Alistar again marveled, as he had every time he saw them, at the gray stone ramparts that sheathed the entire shoreline of the isle that held the Collegium. He still had a hard time believing that the first Maitre had created those walls in a single day, although that was the story. For his own reasons, Alistar was loath to disabuse that rumor, as, he suspected, had been every Collegium Maitre since the first one.
Yet, even in a month or a season?
At the west end of the Nord Bridge, the three turned their mounts onto the Boulevard de West, another wide, stone-paved way said to have been created by the Collegium's first imagers, although the stones showed little, if any, wear, given that they had been laid nearly 400 years earlier, at the time of the consolidation of Solidar under Rex Regis. Then again, Alistar had to admit that those paving stones looked little different from the way the ones in West Isle had when he had first been an imager primus at that branch of the Collegium nearly 30 years ago. As they rode closer to the Chateau de Rex, the shops grew larger and their fronts newer, while the cafes and the occasional bakery sported awnings, although many of those were rolled up, most likely because of the brisk northwest wind. Where the boulevard intersected the ring road around the Chateau de Rex, Alistar turned south and then took the lane up to the steps leading up to the main portico. At the foot of the steps, he dismounted and handed the gelding's reins to Belsior.
"I have no idea how long I'll be here."
"Yes, sir,"
the two replied almost in unison. Alistar took the steps, more than a score, reputedly imaged of near indestructible alabaster-like white stone by the Collegium's first imagers. He still wondered why they had not brought the approach lane higher so that there were fewer steps, but he supposed that was so that the grade to the stone plaza at the foot of the steps was gentle enough for wagons and carriages. One of the guards escorted Alistar from the main entry up to the grand staircase to the upper level of the chateau, and then back along the north corridor to a chamber almost in the northeast corner, where another guard stood. The second guard rapped on the door.
"Maitre Alistar, your grace, send him in."
The force of Ryan's words announced his mood, but Alistar smiled as he stepped into the study and walked toward the massive black oak desk that dominated the east end of the long chamber, on which were piled stacks of papers. From where he sat behind the desk, the angular and near cadaverous-looking Ryan glared. A too long lock of black hair swept almost over his left eye. He wore a gold and gray striped tunic that did not become him over gray trousers, a far more conservative attire than that cultivated by most high holders.
"What took you so long?"
"The half glass is not yet rung, sir."
"That doesn't matter. It still takes you too long to get here. It's not much more than a mill from Image Isle to the chateau."
"That is as the raven flies. There's no direct route from Image Isle to the chateau. I have to ride north to the Boulevard de West."
"You've explained that before."
Ryan smiled, the intense glare of the moment before instantly gone, and replaced with an expression of total warmth.
"We need to do something about that. I will obtain the land, and you and your imagers will build a new boulevard directly from the northern bridge, the Bridge of Wishes or whatever."
"The Bridge of Desires," supplied the Collegium Maitre.
"Directly to the chateau."
"Just to the ring road around the chateau," suggested Alistar, well aware of the Rex's very literal mindset. Ryan frowned. Alistar refrained from sighing. "If we build it right to the entry portico, it will destroy your east gardens and make it harder for you and your family to get to the hunting park, or the marshal's headquarters, or anywhere else. The extra few hundred yards or so won't make any difference in the time it takes to get to and from Image Isle."
"To the ring road, then. But directly there from the bridge."
"Once you have arranged for the land, we will stand ready to begin work on the road. Now, what was the matter for which you requested my presence?"
"Highholder Gwyrdon has said that the highholders of all Solidar may refuse to pay their annual tariffs if I increase them in the coming year."
Refuse to pay? Unprecedented as that sounded, it didn't surprise Alistar after the rhetorical rumblings over the past season. "This year's tariffs?" Alistar knew tariffs were due by the end of Ferillet, 32 days away. "Or next year's?"
"They haven't said. I haven't asked. Yet. It's likely to be this year's tariffs. Why else would they say that now? I have to announce next year's tariffs before this year's are due."
"You have to?"
"It's in the Codex."
"What if you don't? Who could make you?"
"According to the Codex, they don't have to pay this year's tariffs until I announce next year's."
"That could pose a problem," temporized Alistar, suspecting that if even a small fraction of the high holders withheld tariff payments, Ryan and the Collegium would face difficult times before long, certainly within months, if not weeks.
"Pose a problem?" snapped Ryan. "There are Namer Fire few golds left in the treasury. They know that. There have been fewer every year by the end of harvest. That's why I need to increase the tariffs. They haven't been increased in years."
"What about the factors?"
"What about them? They don't have to pay either."
"Could you leave the tariffs at the same level for next year and say that they'll increase next year?"
"Are you an idiot, Maitre? That's how I got into this mess. That's what your predecessor suggested. Then he went and died."
Alistar managed not to swallow. Fain had never mentioned tariffs. Then the former Maitre hadn't mentioned all too many problems. "Is Gwyrdon speaking for himself or as chief of the High Council?"
"He can't speak for the High Council until they meet on the 18th of Ferillet."
"Have you heard anything from the other four councillors?"
"Hyben and Nacreon agree with Gwyrdon. Morin and Vaughn won't oppose me."
"Vaughn won't be a councillor after your turn," Alistar pointed out.
"I know that. I want you to do something about one of those against me."
"What would you suggest?"
"Whatever it takes."
Ryan's smile vanished.
"Those insufferable malcontents, privileged and spoiled brats, all of them."
"That may be, sir. But if any of those three vanish or die suddenly, everyone will blame you." "They will as well if any of them takes ill this soon before the High Council meets."
"Then find a way to get one of them to change his mind."
The Rex's voice turned cold.
"Your predecessor was less..."
"Less willing to point out the unpleasantnesses? That is true." "And that was one of the reasons why the senior imagers continued to support him until almost the end."
"I was sorry to learn of his passing."
Ryan's voice softened, then turned colder once more.
"You know that Demichelon doesn't like imagers, especially when they bring up the unpleasant."
"I'm well aware of the Marshal's distaste for both scholars and imagers. Have you talked with him about this?"
"I'd prefer not to use force of arms at this point, or even threaten it. Hyben and several others would refuse to pay until I put a battalion on his doorstep, and sending a battalion all the way to Piedron would create problems I don't want to think about."
Alistar nodded. From what little he had heard about Hyben, and he had heard a few things, Hyben never let go of a grudge, at least according to Maitre Zaylon.
I'd end up having troopers riding everywhere. That would cost more golds. I won't countenance spending golds to obtain them. I won't!"
Ryan's voice rose not quite to a shout. Alistar waited a long moment. The High Holders might raise private armies in return, and we'd have a civil war on our hands. And because some of the commanders come from High Holder families, they might well not obey orders to discipline other High Holders.
I'm glad you include the Collegium as part of we.
Ryan waved toward the study door.
Let me know when you've taken care of the problem.
I'll look into it, replied Alistar. Then we'll see.
If you don't solve it, I'll have to cut the golds to the Collegium, you know.
I'm well aware of the source of much of our funding, but at times, tightening one's belt is preferable to slitting one's throat. Or the throats of innocent students and young imagers, which is more to the point.
I won't press the point, Maitre, but an increase in tariffs would serve us all far better than belt tightening. That would only encourage more attempts to throttle us both in the future.
Alistar nodded, if reluctantly, although Ryan was doubtless right. He turned and made his way from the Rex's study, well aware that Ryan's gaze had turned to the window, even before Alistar closed the study door on his way out. On his ride back to the Collegium, Alistar pondered the situation facing both Ryan and the Imagers, and the fact that Fane had never mentioned the Terra problem. Once he was back in the administration building, he stopped at the table desk set in the anteroom outside his study and looked at the elderly Imager Secundus seated there.
"Darain, would you please inform the senior Imagers that there will be a meeting in the conference chamber at the first glass of the afternoon? It won't take long, but I expect all of them to be there."
"Not that there are that many seniors these days."
"Yes, Maitre."
"Thank you." After Alistar returned to the study, his eyes took in the ancient Telerin saber mounted on a plaque hung on the wall behind the desk. Not for the first time, he wondered why the most tangible memorial remaining from the Collegium's founder was a saber, given that the founder had been an imager. With a faint smile, he took his copy of the Collegium's master ledger from the small bookcase behind and left of his desk chair, sat down, and began to peruse the ledger. After that came an examination of the Collegium roster and the revised junior imager training and academic program that he had proposed a month earlier when he had become Maitre, and oh so slowly begun to implement. He was still going over that when Darain knocked.
"The others are all in the conference room, sir."
"Thank you." Alistar stood and left his study, crossed the anteroom, and entered the conference room, where he took his place at the head of the long, time-darkened and well-polished oak table, glancing at the five senior imagers gathered there. Outside of Kiran and himself, there were only four others: Taran, Akarit, Desirk, and Obsalem. All of those four Maitre's destruction, although the white-haired Obsalem was barely that in terms of imaging ability.
"You're not going to bring up more changes to the academic, physical, and imaging training again, are you?"
wheezed Obsalem.
"No, I'm not. I'm going to go over your roles in implementing it, since some of you aren't doing what is necessary. But before we get to that, I'm going to tell you why."
He paused.
"I had a meeting with Rex Ryan this morning."
"What did he want?" asked Kiran.
"He wants us to build an avenue straight from the Bridge of Desires to the ring road around the Chateau de Rex. That was the more reasonable demand. After that, he effectively demanded that we make certain that the High Council does not vote to oppose the increase in tariffs on High Holders and Factors that he intends to impose next year. That will require changing one of the probable votes in the coming High Council meeting, because the High Council is opposed to paying any increase in tariffs. Ryan doesn't want to announce an increase if they'll vote to withhold their tariffs. They don't have to pay this year's tariffs until he announces next year's, and the treasury is almost empty."
"It's always been almost empty by the end of the year," declared Obsalem. "What about this avenue?"
"I told him we could do the road, but not until he owned the property and had made the arrangements. I also told him it would take weeks, possibly longer. The other matter is more delicate and dangerous.
I'd like each of your thoughts on that, especially given the precarious position the Collegium finds itself in." He looked to Taran, the black-haired maitre de structure to his left.
"Ryan hasn't been the best of Rexes."
That total understatement drew a few chuckles, mostly from Kieran and Desirk.
"And he's never been predictable, but he has a point. We're struggling to pay for everything. The factors and the high holders complain if we use imaging to make anything that cuts into what they do. The army consists of 6 regiments, or 30 battalions, and the navy is made up of a score of antique warships. Ryan barely rules, but a tariff increase is necessary."
Taran turned his head to the red-headed Akarit, the youngest man at the table.
"The high holders won't listen to reason," said Akarit mildly. "They only respond to force. Force won't work with the factors. There are too many of them, and too few of us to intimidate enough of them to make a difference."
"The factors will follow the lead of the high holders, though," added Kieran, "even if they're not happy about it. So far they have, anyway." Desirk cleared his throat.
"My brother, the commander, has often pointed out that force is often the only thing that works. Force will turn everyone against us. That makes all the choices before the Collegium unpleasant."
His brown eyes fixed on Alistar, then dropped.
"They are," responded Alistar.
"When I was summoned here from West Isle by the former Maitre, I had no idea how much the position of the Collegium here had deteriorated. I have debated summoning several Maitres d'Aspect and perhaps one Maitre de Structure from West Isle, but if I did, they would not arrive for more than a month, perhaps not until mid to late Finitas, and that will be too late for them to help with this difficulty."
He paused, knowing what he was about to say would sound like ancient history, but knowing it had to be said.
"The first imagers of the Collegium were warriors. They were survivors of prosecution and persecution and murder. They numbered only a handful, but they were battle-hardened veterans who had developed enormous powers, the kind of powers we've not pursued developing to that degree in all imagers. We've neglected them because that kind of upbringing, testing, and training kills 9 out of 10 would-be imagers,
as it almost has you several times.
As some of you know, as the senior imager of the Collegium in West Isle, I was criticized because my training methods resulted in greater losses of young imagers, even though what we did there was as nothing compared to what those first imagers endured. If imagers are to survive in Solidar, we must toughen our studies and our training."
"The kind of training you're talking about takes time and patience," declared Taran.
"You're right about how we should train imagers in the future. That was why I supported Maitre Fane's decision to summon you. But we have to deal with the problems we're facing now."
"You're absolutely right," agreed Alistar.
"We can't rush training of the younger imagers. In fact, their training will have to take longer if it is to be effective. That means we must deal with Ryan and the High Holders by subterfuge, give the impression of greater strength than we have in fact, and create the sense that we are forbearing use of mighty powers in the hope that the High Holders will come to their senses."
"You and Kieran are the only ones with those kinds of abilities, especially at a distance," pointed out Desirk.
"Even you two might be pressed against the latest cannon of the army, or the focused fire of the heavy rifles."
"When do you intend to make all these changes?" demanded Absalom.
"We've already started. You know that. Maitre Kieran is working with the most promising seconds and thirds to develop shields and other capabilities sooner in their studies."
"The older way was safer," declared Absalom.
"Safer for the individual imager at the time, but failing to develop imaging capabilities to a greater degree has put them more at risk than they ever would have been if we had followed what I've set out,
or what we began 2 years ago at West Isle.
Something like 10 imagers brought Rex Karst and Bavaria to their knees. 10. We have close to 100 between Luxkelsis and West Isle, and I doubt that any of us could image a fraction of what those 10 could do."
Alistar was understating slightly, because he and Kieran could do quite a bit more than a fraction, but nothing close to what the structures created by the legendary Quarret and even the less legendary Elsior showed was possible. Now we're faced with a near-impossible situation, and we're in that position because we've pampered ourselves and the young imagers.
You can't change that overnight, Absalom pointed out.
You're absolutely right, Alistar repeated, hating to keep...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?